Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes, also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of the Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is all about, is your brain broken? It's a weird concept, but it's a common question that I get asked in my office all the time. A lot of my patients will say, hey doc, do you think my brain's broken, or do you think I'm just getting old? And my answer is always, no, I don't think your brain's broken. I think that what happened is stress took over and hijacked your brain and caused it to malfunction. And there's some ways that we can look at this and figure out what the heck we need to do to put the paddles on your brain and reboot it. So if you experience fatigue, brain fog, lack of focus, poor memory, insomnia, weight gain, anxiety, irritability, or depression, it's possible that stress is affecting your brain. And sometimes folks don't really put together the brain fog, lack of focus, and poor memory with stress. Oddly enough, it often goes in the category in our brain in that folder of, I'm getting old. Oh no, I'm aging too fast. And honestly, it's funny, but usually if we think about it, all of these different symptoms come together after a certain stressor, something that's really kind of thrown us out of our regular routine. And these stressful events happen to all of us. They're normal, but it's how we adapt to these stressful events and how we make it through these stressful events is what's going to determine how broken that brain becomes and what kind of symptoms we get. So I really wanted to do this podcast series. And yes, I said series because there's going to be four of these, and I'll get there in a bit, because there's a theme that I've been seeing over and over again in my practice, and I really want to shout out, maybe scream with a very loud speaker to the universe, that too many of us underestimate the effect of stress on our bodies and our brain. I don't know how many times a patient will come into my office and be like, no, I'm not stressed. It's cool. My life's great. Everything's great. And then when you dive a little deeper and you ask, well, what have your last 4 years, 5 years been like? They'll tell you things like, oh, while biking, I was hit by a car. And then after that, I ran a marathon. And then after that, my dad died. And then after that, I mean, it's just like this series of things. And they're like, yeah, but that all happened and I'm good now. But we don't step back to think about what the heck happened to our bodies while we were going through all of those stressful events. And this is huge. One of the other things that I really want to get across is when I say brain, I'm really meaning your gut and your brain, because your digestive system is much like your first brain, your primal brain, and your brain that you know as your brain is your second brain. And it's huge because your primal brain, that digestive system of yours, has the fight or flight nerves. So that's that sympathetic nervous system running right next to them, all the way down. And it also, that digestive system also is in charge of helping you to create your neurochemicals, otherwise known as neurotransmitters, and otherwise known as serotonin in particular. These are the molecules that help you feel happy and sad and get you to focus. So serotonin, dopamine, those guys. When you're stressed, your body takes blood away from your digestive system. And in turn, it puts it into the arms and the legs because it's anticipating that you're going to run away from some particular bear. And as you can imagine, that's not good for the digestive system because, of course, we still tend to eat and we still tend to put Frankenfood in our body, and the digestive system has to figure out what to do with that. And the more stress that you are in, this compounds and digestion becomes worse and worse. Your gut bugs become sick, they die. You end up with gut bugs that are not useful to you. And hence, these signals to the brain are thrown off. And of course, that's just the beginning of things. In the next four series, I'm going to go into the main factors as to why we are a society of broken-brained individuals. And today we're going to start with how it happens and how to evaluate how bad your brain is broken. Now next, my next episode after this one is pretty much a breakdown of what's hype and what's legit and fixing the brain, because there are a ton of supplements out there. And I think that I really want folks to understand what's useful and what's kind of a joke and really know how to choose what's right for their broken brain symptoms. The next episode after the what's legit and what's hype is all about genetics, because our genetics do play a huge role in causing the broken brain symptoms. In particular, there are certain genetic mutations that can be turned on by stressors, by nutritional deficiencies, things of that nature. And we find that these particular genetic mutations can seriously mess with how many neurochemicals we actually make. So you might have a deficiency of serotonin or dopamine, or you might have an excess of them, which can cause very similar symptoms. So you can see where trying to fix your broken brain can lead you down really big holes that you might not be treating yourself properly, because you might have an excess of neurochemicals when you actually have a deficiency. So I'm going to talk all about the role of genetics in causing our broken brains. Then after that, I'm going to end the series with how all of these broken brain symptoms tie into affecting our thyroid glands and our adrenal glands. So most of us know what the thyroid is, but adrenal glands, it's not as common for folks to know what that is. Those are your glands that sit on top of your kidneys, and they're in charge of your fight or flight response. And those little buggers also are in charge of blood pressure. They're also in charge of your electrolyte balance. They're in charge of your hormone balance. And what we tend to see is after long periods of stress, folks start to have difficulty maintaining their blood pressure. So their blood pressure creeps up. It's 140 over 90, then it's 160. Maybe it jumps to 200 one day when they're really stressed. And oftentimes they'll go to the ER, they'll get checked out, and then they're told, nothing's wrong with you, but let's put you on a medication to keep that blood pressure in check. But guess what? That medication's gonna, drop your blood pressure and keep it in check, but maybe that's not the reason why your blood pressure is elevated in the first place. It's because your poor adrenal glands don't know how to regulate your blood pressure anymore. Another biggie is that I often will see folks with cramps in their legs and chronic pain. And cramps and chronic pain oftentimes is an imbalance of electrolytes. So these are your sodium, potassium, your magnesium. And magnesium isn't an official electrolyte. As I'm saying that, I want you to understand that it is a mineral, but it tends to get thrown off along with the sodium, potassium, chloride, those kind of things. So that's something to think about. Then the hormone component. Why do we have so many people with thyroid conditions in the US and in the world for that matter? And why do we have so many people with thyroid issues that can't seem to conceive? So we got infertility. Why do we have a lot of obesity? It's this stress component. We are not well adapted to deal with stress. So that being said, that's my four-part series that I'm going to go through in the next few episodes. But now let's get to the meat and bones here of this episode. How do we break our brain? Well, this is how it goes. I'm going to kind of explain what I've seen over and over and over again, and what I've even seen with myself. So it starts with one or multiple life-changing events. Then that event causes prolonged or an acute type of stress. And in a prolonged stress situation, we're thinking of maybe you went through a bachelor's, master's, a doctorate degree program. I do see a lot of people tend to really stress out during school. There might be a death in the family. You might end up taking care of a family member. Maybe you're in a long abusive relationship. Maybe just a relationship that just didn't work. Because let's face it, sometimes in marriages, they work for a while and then they just don't, and you try to deal with it and that stresses you out even more. Maybe you go through a stressful job. Maybe you have an addict in the family. Maybe you have extreme financial stress. Whatever it may be, this prolonged stress and just over and over again be inundating the body, it's like all these little bears are coming after you. And your body's, you know, thinking to itself, oh my gosh, I can't get away, because, right, life is what it is. We can't get into caves. We can't hide and chill for a little bit. Yeah, we could take vacations, but then all those little bears come right back. So we're not well programmed to figure out what to do with this prolonged stress. Now, maybe it's not a prolonged stress that sets the body off. Maybe it's an acute type of stress. Maybe it comes with a shock or a quick change. Perhaps a quick death of a family, friend, maybe an animal, maybe a miscarriage. I do see this a lot in females. Or maybe you're hit by a truck, you know, a major injury, a loss of a job, relocation of family. These types of things are somewhat of an acute situation. I also see a lot in folks who were assaulted or a robbery or witness to something horrible. These kind of things really shift your routine, but they also really just put a big shock in your system. Things that you experience that you can't seem to forget, you keep replaying it over and over in your head, that's a stressor. And your brain has to react to that, and it has to figure out what to do with that, what to deal with that. Now, you might be thinking, well, this stuff happens all the time. And I absolutely agree. It's true. And the point of this whole podcast today is how you deal with stressors is what breaks your brain. Because most of us don't know how to press pause. I wish we could. I really wish there was some button like that movie with Adam Sandler where you press that pause. I think the movie's called Click. You could fast forward or rewind. But you could press pause for a minute and be like, okay, let's think this through. But most of us don't have time for that, right? We've got social media. We got all these different things hitting us. And that's where the broken brain thing starts to come in. Too much coming at us at once. We are still cave people. And the environment and life that we live in right now is fast-paced. And we have a hard time catching up with it. Every single one of us. Whereas if we want to admit it or not, it's tough. And every little thing does tend to be a stress component. You could call it survival of the fittest. You could call it stress management. You could call it getting older and growing up. But we're not prepared for these things. There's not a class in a grade school or high school that preps us for life. Okay, well, yeah, maybe you could say shop class and home ec or your life skills class. I know some schools had it called that. But come on, those classes are a joke. My ability to be able to make a pie is not going to help with stress management. Well, okay, you can argue that because I could stress eat the crap out of that pie and then I might feel better for a minute until I start hating myself because I just ate 4,000 calories. So you could see where I'm headed here. Nevertheless, there was no class on how to deal with stress and what to do if X, Y, or Z happens. We have no freaking clue. We're not prepared. All we're prepared with is what we've seen our parents go through. And that's sometimes okay, and that's sometimes a very poor modeling of how to deal with stress. You know what family members, you know, have taught you over the years with stress management. And most of the time, it ends up being alcohol, cigarettes, arguments. It's never good. That's unfortunate, but that is the case. I think that there's very few people that leave, let's say, high school or grade school, and really know what to do if they become stressed. Most of us don't even learn the basics, such as breathing, just sitting down and taking deep breaths. Unfortunately, that's just not stress management 101. And if you had a health class in high school, chances are you really didn't get a great prep in that either. I can honestly say that my health class in high school just blew me away in terms of, it was a waste of time. Let's just put it that way. Okay. So is stress just the school of hard knocks, or, you know, is it really something that exists? Because let's put it this way. In society, we have this big idea that we have to look strong and push through. And if you don't, you're considered weak. That's not cool. I think we need to change that thought process. So take a look at yourself for a minute in terms of all the stressors you've had and think it through in terms of, well, did you go through the school of hard knocks and did you come out swinging, or did you end up moving through these different situations that happened to you, and are you depressed? Are you anxious? Do you have broken brain symptoms? Now, I'm not here to beat up on anybody, so don't take it that way. It means that, okay, if you have those broken brain symptoms, we got to figure out how to get you back to functioning normal. Because as I said before, we didn't have that stress 101, here's what you do to deal with stress class. So there you have it. And unfortunately, when I have people coming into my office, I can almost tell how many stressors one has had to endure by how their skin looks. Unfortunately, you age faster the more you are put in situations that are stressful. For example, look at the presidents from the start of their presidency to the end of it. It's not just aging. A lot of that is stress. And you can tell from beginning of getting into the presidency to when they leave. Holy cow. I mean, just look at a before and after of quite a few of the different presidents. You'll be shocked. There's none that look younger, that's for sure. And look at yourself. Take a look at yourself before you're stressed and take a look at yourself after certain situations happened. I will guarantee that you look different. And you probably have noticed that. But you're going to chalk it up to aging, because that's what we do. We blame it all on aging. That's not it. We shouldn't have fogged brains. We shouldn't be fatigued. We shouldn't not be able to memorize or remember things. That's a problem. That means that your brain is broken thanks to stress. All right, so let's break it down a little bit more detailed in terms of what exactly happens in the process of breaking our brains. So number one, that a stressor that happens, whether it's a death, whether it's an assault, whether whatever happens to you. It could be that, in my case, my mom died when I was 26 years old. Now you might be thinking, at 26, you're pretty much a grown woman. Yeah, but we still need our parents. And I wasn't prepared for it. Even though she had 10 years of battling cancer, I still wasn't ready for that day. You never will be ready for that day. I can honestly tell anybody that out there, the day your parent dies, you have no idea. It's just crazy. And so it adjusts your routine, right? I used to call my mom every single day, and then I can't anymore. That's a big deal. That's a stressor. We are cave people and we like routines. You mess that routine up and boom, now we have issues. So that routine change either leaves us with no routine, which is unpredictable for that cave person brain and extremely stressful, or we have a new routine that takes pieces away from our self-identity. Now, when I'm talking about pieces away from your self-identity is maybe you get into a relationship with someone who you're trying to be a different person for that individual. You're trying to be cool for them. You're trying to be whatever you're trying to be. Or perhaps let's take having kids, for example. All too often, I see so many parents doing everything for their kids so that their kids have fun. And literally, they lose themselves in their kids. They do everything for the kids. They forget what they like to do for fun. And the primal brain hates that because you're losing your identity. And I'm not hating on having kids. It's true. I don't have kids myself. But what I see is that so many people lose their identity when they have their kids. They're just like, whoa, wait a minute, what happened to me? Whoa, pause, wait, I want to go do things I used to do. So these are big routine changers. Now, having kids changes your routine with sleep. Changing a job might change your sleep routine. Losing sleep is a big stressor to your brain. I don't care who you are. I know there's books out there that say that you only need 4 hours of sleep and this, that, and the other. Maybe for some people, but it all boils down to routine, your sleep routine. You go to bed at the same time, you wake up at the same time. This puts less stress on your brain. When you're going to bed at different hours every single night and you're waking up at different hours every single day, that messes with your brain. Your brain needs routine. Then there's eating changes. That's another biggie, because when we get stressed, we either eat more or we eat less. or sometimes we don't eat at all, depends on the individual, this is a stressor because now your brain's going, okay, is there no food? Do I need to go on storage mode? So for a lot of people, we have this switch where the body starts to store food because it thinks that we are going for some long haul away from this particular stressor. That's a problem because now we start to gain belly fat. And a lot of people aren't too cool with that. Pretty much no one that I'm sure of. Okay, then maybe we have this concept in terms of we've got a family now, we're juggling work, we're juggling school maybe, because it seems that, I don't know what it is about us folks in my or the folks in my practice, or maybe just folks in general, that every time we have kids, after we're done having those kids, we feel that we need to either go back to school or we need to run marathons. It just seems that we need to take on more. And I don't know what this concept is. Maybe it's achievement, keeping up with the Joneses, whatever it may be. There's always this compounding factor of, yes, I have three kids, I'm in school, and I'm trying to, you know, write a book or something. Like, oh my gosh, who are these people? So there's so much that we're throwing into the mix that that's going to throw off our routine because we can't seem to get a routine because school schedules keep changing and things of that nature, or our kids' schedules keep changing. All right. Now, maybe you just got a new job that changes your whole life schedule and it's keeping you from sports and things you love to do because you just didn't plan it into your schedule. Now, I know way too many people that throw themselves into their work and they work ridiculous amounts of hours. They can't even find time to prep their own food. They can't even find time to go hang out with their friends. They can't even find time to work out. That's not good. So if you're one of those people, I want you to think about that and how that affects your life. Because if we are not doing the things that we like to do and having fun, it messes with our chemicals, our brain chemicals, brain chemistry. That's huge. So moving right into our next thing here, the routine change adjusts our brain chemicals because we're stressed and we just keep going. We don't hit pause. We don't stop. We pass go. Monopoly. Yep. And we keep calm and chive on. Who hasn't seen that shirt? Or keep calm and whatever. Well, I like that shirt because it really sums up people in this day and age. We just try to keep calm and keep going on and keep keeping on. And guess what? It doesn't work for us. It breaks our brains. Because that keeping calm, that fake calm, trust me, it's fake calm. It doesn't do well for anybody. And oftentimes, this is where we try to convince ourselves it's all good, we're fine, everything's great, and we just keep getting more stressed, we keep putting more things on our daily load, and then the situation compounds to the fact that, yeah, then we can't remember anything, we're feeling like our cells are shaking from the inside out, we're vibrating, we're irritable, we're bitchy, that bitch switch is going on, it's crazy, and that's unfortunately where modern day society is. And speaking of society, it doesn't help us either because we're a fast-paced society. We can't really pause. We're inundated with stuff all the time. Technology is always on and in our faces. I kind of like to think of life right now as mini Las Vegas's. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, there's lights, there's sounds, there's things flashing. I mean, it's a nightmare for anyone that has ADD. But it's also going to provoke some ADD because there's so many things that you're looking at. And I call this squirreling. I'm like, look at that. Look at this. Ooh. But guess what? You open up the internet, it's doing the same thing to you. Facebook. Don't get me started on Facebook. Facebook does it. Yes, I have a Facebook group. But I'm not on there all the time. I really want people to understand that I'm there to help. But technology-wise, it's hard. It's you got to find that right balance. And that's my point here. It's not that I hate technology. I think it's finding the right balance because I don't know how many people in their 20s and even into their 30s and 40s can't put their cell phone down for a minute. I sat at dinner two nights ago and watched two individuals on their cell phones the whole dinner. They didn't even talk to each other. What the heck? So all of that stuff coming at you isn't good. Now, compound that with society's rules for us or society's thought process. So you're lazy if you want to be a ski bum, a surf bum, a hippie, or a free spirit and not get paid to be, you know, a professional surfer or a professional skier. If you're just basically going to be like, yeah, I want to move to Colorado to ski. Yeah, I did that. And guess what? I took a lot of flack for that. But society-wise, it was, you know, it was a big move, and it wasn't, you know, something that what we do, you know, we're supposed to go get that job, make some money, because unfortunately money is always going to trump happiness and creativeness when it comes down to it in our society. You can try to argue that with me all you want, but if you look at it, a lot of people take jobs that are going to be more stressful for them because of the money. People are going to do all of these different things that unfortunately, yes, are going to get them maybe more money, maybe more status, something of that nature, but it's not going to buy them happiness. And so many of us went into careers that we're not happy about per se because it wasn't our dream job, because someone told us that we had to have a respectable job. You couldn't go and follow, you know, Jerry Garcia, because making, you know, peanut butter jelly sandwiches at concerts and selling them to people is not a legitimate job. Well, you know what? I tend to look at a lot of those folks who are my friends who are hippies and free spirits, and I'm like, you know what though? They take every day and enjoy it and they have fun. And that's cool. So now I look at that and go, okay, how can I turn that into a life where I'm not stressed and I'm not breaking my brain and I'm still able to do what I love and balance it with what I need to do to make money? So something to think about, because the number one reason that I see people stressed out, really honestly, when I get down to it, the nitty gritty, is because people are not pausing. They're not taking time to enjoy life and they're not being creative. A lot of us are creative folks. We need to create to feel good. And if we can't create because we're being hampered down by our really crappy work schedule or lack of organization in our life, we get stressed. Stress turns us into very, very crabby individuals. And we tend to enjoy life less. So something to think about. I mean, society really has this concept of perfectionism. We need to have things perfect. And the folks who are the perfectionists suffer the worst. I feel the worst for folks who have to be perfect. I will admit that I have learned, and it's taken me a very long time, that being perfect isn't everything. My father is a huge, huge perfectionist. And he really instilled that in me. And guess what? It kind of stressed me out bad. And now I'm just over it. But something to think about. If you are a perfectionist, you got to look into how that is breaking your brain every single day. Now, the other big thing about society is that we all have this concept of we're trying to be superhuman, juggle family, work, and maintain our identity and all of it. And usually we end up losing ourselves in that drive to be superhuman and not look weak. So we push ourselves. I don't know why there's rewards for pushing yourself. Hey, John there, he worked 270 hours this week. We're really proud of him. We're going to give him employee of the month or employee of the week. Yeah, and what happened to the rest of his life? And what happened to him pushing pause and relaxing? Yeah. Good job, John. You've got a lovely award here and you're stressed out and your brain's starting to break. Great. Way to go. That's society to the T for you. Another big thing that I've found is that I have a lot of ladies who are kind of straddling the 1950s concepts. So like Mrs. Cleaver, like I've got to make dinner. I've got to be the perfect soccer mom. And then I also have to work. And then I have to try to see my friends. And now we've got women who are really tanking their thyroids and adrenals. Fibromyalgia. Have you heard of that? Pain in the muscles, nervous system issues, things of that nature. Chronic pain, chronic fatigue. It's broken brain, stressed out because you're trying to do too much and you weren't prepared on how to deal with stress. That's what that is. So that all being said, one thing that I really want folks to think about is we often compound our own stressors because we'll be using technology right up until the minute we're trying to go to bed and then we wonder why we can't go to sleep. Well, because you have light that's been coming to your brain telling it that it's daylight still when it's 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. We also have these concepts of keeping up with the Joneses. So we compound our stress with that because you look at Facebook and you're like, oh, look, so-and-so went to Bali and then they went to Egypt and then they did this and then they did that. We all freaking know that people post their best stuff on Facebook, but we still find that Facebook jealousy stuff happening. Then you compound that with Facebook challenges of, hey, I'm going to do 80,000 squats every single day for the next 30 days. Can you join me? Or, hey, let's all run marathons. Because marathons are a really good idea when you have children and you have work and you have all these other things to do. Now, if you love running, by all means, go for it. But I don't know how many people decide that they need to run a marathon after they've had a couple kids. I know I already mentioned it before, but just to put the point out there, it just compounds things. It's adding to your stress. Then we have the society component of our addiction to happy hour, wine, alcohol, and coffee. All these things that also contribute to, you got it, broken brains. And, you know, I like the concept of happy hour, because it causes us or provokes us to slow down, which is a huge, cool component. We sit down, we slow down, we hang out with friends. But why do we have to drink? Why the alcohol? I mean, I'm not hating on the wine. It just seems that what else could we do to free our brain? So why not workout happy hour? Why not walking happy hour? I don't know. Just trying to put it out there, change things a little bit. Okay. So all that being said, I've kind of went through why society turns us into broken brain individuals. It's peer pressure. It's stress. It's just a lot of different compounding things that really keep us from pressing pause. And that's what I really want folks to think about for a minute. Another common thing that I hear from patients is, if I could just go back to when X, Y, and Z was happening, I was good then, I was thin then, I was happy then. Okay, great, let's channel that, because usually when you go back to a time when you were happy and things were good, it was either when you were a kid, which is sad, but oftentimes it was, and it was also when things weren't as fast, things weren't being thrown at you. When you're a kid, you don't have as many pressures. Now, granted, that being said, I should probably also say that some people had some really horrible upbringings, and that's a whole different stressor. But for all intents and purposes, when you're a kid, you at least do not have to take care of anybody else per se. Yes, maybe you had to babysit your brothers and sisters, but there wasn't that pressure for you to make money and hold down the fort. It was more that you could still be yourself and play, but you didn't have to do as much as you have to do as an adult. Now, I'm not going to go into some of the horrible childhoods that some people have had, because yeah, let's face it, some people have even more stressors. But the point here was to slow down and think about, if you could just go back to when X, Y, and Z was happening. And by that, I mean, when were you last without a broken brain? So when did you not feel fatigued? When did you feel like your brain was going well? When did you feel like you weren't forgetting things? When did you feel like you weren't irritable? And when you go back to that, I want you to think about, what were you doing then that was fun? How did you manage things? Did you have a routine at that time? What did you do when you let go and you felt free? Most of us think that this can't happen in adulthood, because we have to be strong and push and, you know, keep going and just really work. And that's not the case. You have control. A lot of us let go of our own control. You can take back time, you can take back your routine, and you can get back to doing things you love. So I want you to think about for a minute, what did you do when you were a kid to relax? Or maybe even when you were younger, what did you do to relax when you were younger? What did you do to relax and have fun when you were a kid? What's fun to you now? And those of you who are parents, I want you to really think about what's fun to you, not to your kids, not to you watching your kids have fun. What is fun to you? What gets your mind off of stressors? So what frees your mind? What creative outlets do you have? How many of these things are you thinking about right now that you totally stopped doing to get into the career that you're in, to get into the life that you're in. Think about it. What have you let go of that you miss? So one of the big things that I like to talk about with my patients is that when my husband was hit by a truck while going to work, we stopped biking, and he was riding his bike while he was going to work that day that he was hit. And yes, there was a lot of remembering and PTSD, if you will, that went around that. And it took us literally 5 years to get back to riding. And now we are, but it was such a big deal. It was a huge part of our lives that we loved to bike ride together and mountain bike. And we didn't do it at all. And we realized when we went back to thinking, okay, what is it that we love to do together? What is it that we lost? And when we went back to those things and started doing those things again, it was amazing how much that our lives changed. We became happier. We started to enjoy life again. So I want you to think about those typical things that you used to love to do that you stopped doing, and think about why. Now, maybe you can make the argument that, oh, I had an injury and I can't do it anymore. Okay, fine. We'll find something that's similar or work on it. So now that we thought about if you could slow things down, what would you do to change, you know, your routine? And where can you see a space to put that into your daily routine? And of course, if you don't have a daily routine, it's all kind of willy-nilly, everything's all over the place, then we've got to change that. That is unacceptable. And the reason I say that's unacceptable is because we are cave people. Like I mentioned 100 times in this podcast, we need routine. We need to have a regular schedule. And that point at which you have a regular schedule, you can schedule in your fun. You can schedule in different tidbits of what you like to do, your creative time, etc. And it's a beautiful thing. And maybe if you're worried about your kids and how to juggle all that, invite your kids to hang out with you when you have creative time. Now, granted, it's better to have some time by yourself and really work on these things. But hey, you got to start somewhere, right? So what do I do with patients in my office to help fix their brain? The first and foremost thing is that I look at their neurochemicals. This is a urinalysis type of test. You can do it on your own at home and send it out via kit. It's the company I use is called Labrix, and you can look them up at labrix.com. They're in my resources section of this podcast. And Labrix is cool because you can see like exactly how much dopamine you're making, how much serotonin you're making, how much GABA, glutamate, all these different neurochemicals that we use to function on a daily basis. And it's huge because we also can see how much adrenaline that we're pumping out every single day. Sometimes I'm surprised at how many people I think are over making their neurochemicals when in fact they're under making them, which is crazy. I oftentimes will compare this to cortisol testing. This is saliva testing that tells us how stressed out you are, because you will produce more cortisol the more stressed you are. Now, the longer you've been stressed and the time frame in which that goes, you're also going to see how much in terms of lack of cortisol you might be making. Now, combine that with some genetic testing, we can also see what's happening with your production of neurochemicals. Because if you have a genetic mutation that's keeping you from making the neurochemicals properly, that's huge. That's huge, because you can also play that, you know, put that into the picture as to the whole component as to why your brain became broken and what we need to do to fix it. And the fact that we have genetic testing now is amazing, because it sheds more light on the whole picture of being able to fix your brain properly and prevent issues from happening in the future. So the other big thing, as if you probably couldn't guess at this point, is routine planning. I have folks work on their best day ever routine planning. And by that, I mean, I want you to put things in to your routine that are fun, because we are freaking robots. We wake up, we go to work, and we go home, blah, 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 end of story. We don't add in fun. It's seen as, you know, child's play. Well, guess what? We are all kids. And when we block that kid, we become stressed and it breaks our brain. We need to be able to release that kid, because this helps us with production of certain neurochemicals. which is huge. So I always recommend that my patients make a schedule for food, sleep, exercise, and relaxing. And I have my routine planner guide and the best day ever guide in my resources section on my website at drjkrausnd.com. Drjkrausnd.com. It helps if I know my own website. So then the other thing that I also have patients do is work on their digestive system. Because 95% of your serotonin that you make is in your gut. You got to put the coffee and alcohol in check and work on what foods are good for you. Because honestly, we have Frankenfood, like I've mentioned over and over again, and the processed stuff does not do us any favors. And it's important to try to eat foods closest to nature. Now, boundaries. This is a big one. And this is one that I've had to learn over and over again in life because I'm a giver. I like to help people. That's why I do this podcast, you know, and that's why I'm in the career that I am. But unfortunately, along the way, you end up with some energy vampires. You end up with some users, people who just use, 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 take, 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 but you never get anything in return. And so these are the people too that stress us out. And they might be the low level stressors in our lives and we don't think about it. But remember, like I said before, everything compounds. So I want you to think about that. I also want you to think about what are your guidelines for your playbook for life? Because we need to really assess when our brain's broken, we really need to assess what is it we love to do? What is it that allows us to be creative? What is it that makes us smile? What are those things? Be very clear with yourself on those because these are going to help you to make your routine for your best day ever, every day, but also help you to understand that you are an individual. You have individual values. You have individual needs, and you need to honor those because if you do not take care of yourself, you cannot take care of anybody else. You also cannot enjoy life to the fullest. You're going to be very, very upset like you are now if you're finding that this podcast is resonating with you. You're going to find that if you take care of yourself and you honor what you want to do, often you're going to be a happier, less brain broken person because you are going to be able to press pause. That is the number one thing that so many of us need to really understand is the art of pressing pause. And that is being able to step back from all the crazy in life. You shut down the screens, you shut down all that, and you go out and you do what you enjoy. Maybe it's 5 minutes a day, maybe it's 10 minutes a day, every day, just something that you enjoy. So I want you to write down right now, if you are, of course, just chilling, if you're driving, please don't write and drive. It's not good, but I want you to think about what you value right now. Like what in your life do you value? What is really important to you? And what have you been yearning for? So think about your youth or think about what you yearn to have. What do you always want to do? What have you always wanted to do? Think about those things. What do you think about during the day when you're stressed out at work and you're like, I wish I could just be, maybe you want to wish you could be playing golf. Maybe you want to be surfing. Maybe you want to be paddleboarding. Okay, great. So you think about how you could either integrate that into your weekly schedule or you think about how you could take something that you could put into your schedule. Maybe you get a component of you go down to the water and sit on the water for 5 minutes a day and you just hang out. You don't have to meditate because that's a whole nother story. You just hang out. So think about what you yearn for from your youth when you were hanging out and just pressing pause. Now also, I want you to think about what do you want for the future? Who are you? That's a big loaded question. It's more like who are you? Who do you see yourself as in the future? What do you want? What is it that your cave person brain is not getting that's stressing it out? Deep thoughts here, people. Deep thoughts. So the next thing is what will you put up with? With work, with family, friends, etc. Because a lot of us endure a lot of BS. And I'm going to take it from the perspective of work, for example. Our bosses maybe, or even if we're our own bosses, sometimes we have this concept that, you know, we need to push to the limits. We need to work long hours because that is what's going to get us ahead. At what cost? Really think about it. At what cost? And so what are you willing to put up with in terms of those kind of folks? Also, what are you willing to put up with in terms of the energy vampires and users in your life? Because these are the folks that suck the life out of you and are going to be the ones that are going to drain you and break your brain the most. And then the last part of it is, how do you want to be perceived? And that's a loaded question, because a lot of us want to be perceived as hardworking and, you know, tough and endure, you know, we can endure stuff. We're tough cookies. And you know what? That's great. But I think we need to think of it a little bit differently. Tough cookies take time to pause and then move on to the next task. Too many of us are multitasking, juggling way too many things, way more than we need to. There's something about the art of saying no. And I think that it's respectable to think about how you want to be perceived. A hard worker, but knows when to say no and knows what he or she can handle. That's huge. And that's a huge part of being able to work on fixing your brain. So I've given you some things to think about in this podcast. I've also provided in my resources section on my website at drjkrausnd.com, my best day ever planning guide, my routine planner and guide, my neurotransmitter and cortisol testing company that I use. And I also am going to have this new concept of things happening now where you could ask me a question. You can go onto my website, ask me a question. I want to hear from you. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to add more to this podcast in my podcast community. So please, if you're thinking about things that are coming up while I am going through the podcast, go over to my website and ask me a question. Now, if you're also thinking at this point, wow, okay, my brain probably is broken and I need some help to get my energy back. I need to get my life back. I really want you to go to my website as well and check out my resources page, but also I have a course that might be able to help you to assess where your stress levels are at and what to do about that. Because it's important to put these things in check. So important, because every single day I see people on the end of where they haven't set a routine. They've let people step all over them and they've lost themselves in that process. And it's hard for them to climb out. And the longer that you're in that fight or flight, stressful situations that compound and compound, the harder it is to bring yourself out. Not saying it can't be done, because I can help with that. But the big thing here is that start now to prevent the compounding stress so that things don't get unbearable 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Really start now. Prevention is the best way, and really understanding how to deal with stress and how to manage it is huge. And one of the best ways is starting with a routine. Now, my next podcast after this one in this series is talking about what supplements are legit and what's junk in terms of helping you to get started on balancing your neurochemicals out, because we do need a little help in the interim while we're setting routines and things of that nature. So check out my next podcast and stay tuned for the rest of them, because I'm going to have three more in this series so that you can get really clear on how to work to fix your broken brain. Whew. I was long-winded on this one today. I apologize for that. I will be shorter in the next few. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a fabulous day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.